Let us pray. Holy God, as we consider the works of your fingers, the heavens and the stars in the sky, we wonder with the psalmist, why are you mindful of us? And yet you love us so much. We pray that we hear your word speaking to us, transform us, breathe in us, make us your people. Amen. So as we heard in the children's sermon, or you might have heard in the children's sermon, we are made in the image of God, imprinted with the image of God, made to be like God. Little less than divine, the psalmist says. But what does that mean? What does it mean to be God-like? We certainly have some examples in our society. We like to make this whole ethos around God-likeness. We have these superheroes and supervillains that kind of embody God in some ways, like Superman or maybe Spider-Man or Batman. I'm sure you could come up with a bunch of names. What are some names of some superheroes and supervillains that you know? The Green Lantern?
SpongeBob.
Totally. Thor, yeah? Underdog.
Mighty Mouse.
Mighty Mouse. Oh, those are good.
Magneto?
Begito?
Magneto.
Oh, Magneto, yeah.
Wonder Woman.
Ah, a woman, yes. Very good. Catwoman, right. Batman. I don't think, Batman.
Robin.
Right, Robin, of course. I heard another one. Oh, Mother Teresa. Yeah, I think she's a real-life superhero. You know, in addition to these kinds of fun superheroes in this society, we also kind of have our American legends. You know, people like Billy the Kid and the Lone Ranger and Paul Bunyan and even Honest Abe Lincoln. In this society, we think that it's these kinds of characters, these superheroes and these legends that epitomize power and freedom and God-likeness. We hold up the image of the self-made man, the person who somehow has risen by his own power to the top of the heap. We again and again reinforce to ourselves and to our children that it is most important to be independent, to be strong, to stand on one's own two feet, to not need anyone else or anything else. We think that the best thing that we can do for our kids is to let them make their own choices, as if they really make choices all on their own. And we think that the best thing when it comes to faith is to let people kind of figure it out on their own, as if what I believe or what you believe truly were formed in a vacuum. And of course, then those things that we come up with on our own, we think are more true, more godlike, because, well, we did it on our own. The individual is God in this society. And while we have lovely sayings like, no man is an island unto himself, and we like to spout, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country, we don't really believe it. Because we want everything customized. We want it our way. Because we are the music makers and we are the dreamers of the dreams. Because we all want to sing with Sinatra in the end. I did it my way. The strange thing is this Sunday, this very strange Sunday, where we are forced to deal with that rather central doctrine of the Christian faith, the Trinity. Most of the time, we can kind of brush it off. We might make mention of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sustainer, the Rock who gave us birth, our light, and our salvation. But we don't tend to think about it too much. And really, there's an awful lot of people out there who think that the doctrine of the Trinity is really rather pointless these days. But this Sunday, the texts are chosen to focus on the Trinity and what the Trinity is about and what the Trinity can teach us. I suppose I could try to explain the Trinity to you, the nature of how God is three, not one, and yet one, not three. And I'm pretty sure that in the end, you would just be left with the question that seemed to be floating all over discussion boards all week. What's the point? Well, here's what I think at least part of the point is, at least for here, at least for today. We tend to think that the individual is God, that one can be whole and complete all on one's own, and that those who somehow, well, can't quite pull themselves up by the bootstraps or do it all on their own or quite be complete all in of themselves, well, they're somehow not good enough and maybe not quite worth our efforts. And yet, if we are made in the image of God, in the image of the triune God, we learn that we are not complete if we are not in relationship. See, God is not fully God without God's breath, spirit, wind. God is not fully God without the incarnate love that is Jesus, that is the Son, that is the divine Lady Wisdom. God is not fully God without the holy, mysterious, untouchable Creator, Mothering Father. God is not God without all three. And while each of those persons are God, they are not by themselves God alone. And yet together, bound together in divine, inseparable love, so close that they lose distinction in action and being, and yet are entirely distinct in person, they together are holy God. And God created us for exactly that relationship with each other and with God. Sin has broken us, shattered our ability to love each other with divine love, turned us so inward that we really think that our belly button is the center of the universe. And that keeps us from the community that God has created us for. Look, in our brokenness, in our separateness, in our striving to be that self-made man at the top of the pile, we will never get closer to God. We will never be like God. But in community, even in broken community in which the Spirit of God is ever dancing, in which the incarnate love of God is being ever poured out, we catch glimpses of the divine in each other, in our relationships, in creation, in bread and wine. And we practice and play together so that while the image of God may yet be a broken one, we keep stumbling into that dance of the Trinity, trusting that the creating, recreating, loving, forgiving, generous, outpouring, wounded, yet whole God is gracing us into life. Amen.